Welcome to the Questo Dome. All right, bonus episode time. Welcome to this bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out on a wonderful weekend. It is getting hot out there. Woof. Tell you that much. Spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about spoilers about a specific movie, that movie being Ex Machina. Helping me with that is co-host Drew Cogburn. Drew!
What up, bro?
Mr. Cogburn.
How's it going?
Doing good, man. Doing good. It's the weekend before the summer movie season kicks off in earnest.
Yeah. Next week it all begins.
It's gonna be like seriously movie crazy for a while here.
Yeah,
which is fine. I'm always down for that.
Age of Ultron next weekend.
Yeah, but before all of that stuff comes out, they gave us a little bit of some of the counter programming, the smaller movies, the more adult movies. We saw one of them. It's in the title of the episode. X Body Spray presents Ex Machina.
I don't know. I guess it was a little bro-y.
One dude's kind of bro-y.
There were some bro moments.
Yeah. There are forces bro moments, though. We'll talk about all that stuff now because this is the spoiler bonus episode for Ex Machina. A lot to talk about in that movie. Our spoiler-free review is in episode 120. You can check that out. On ChrisCrespo.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. But here we're going to get more in depth because it's that type of movie, right, Drew? There's a lot of.
I mean, definitely. It's.
Brings up the questions.
Brings out the questions, and if you don't, you know, if you just kind of want people to see it, you don't really want to, you know, ruin it for them.
Right, so. Exactly. It's the type of thing where people should see it, trying to know as little as possible.
Definitely.
Let it unfold before you, and then after you see it. So yeah, if you haven't seen the movie yet, thanks for downloading.
Stop listening.
Yeah, save the episode. Save it. And watch the movie and then come back and listen to it. Or if you don't give a fuck, maybe you don't care about spoilies. You'll see a movie no matter what. You just want to hear us gab about some shit? Well, then, by all means, keep listening because here it comes. Spoiler alert, we're talking about that Ex Machina. Drew, where you want to start? I guess just want to...
I mean,
start right from the beginning.
I mean, yeah, we can start off at the beginning, sure.
Well, first, what about your overall thoughts of the movie? What did
overall? I think I was afraid of how
you're afeared.
Well, it's just this type of movie isn't anything new. You know,
oh, by no means,
artificial intelligence and machine robots and this, that, the other. You know, this is familiar territory for science fiction.
Goes back to 2001, A Space Odyssey. HAL 9000.
So, you know, I was afraid that it was just going to be another, you know, it wasn't going to be anything new. Right. It was just going to be, a retelling of a story that I already know.
Someone more serious, Short Circuit.
Exactly. And
angst-ridden Wall-E.
And it really defied my expectations. Yeah. It took old material and somehow made it fresh and its own, and I was actually quite impressed.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely... I mean... The Terminator, RoboCop, you know, movies about a robot being and, it, you know...
Is it alive? Does it have a consciousness?
Is it just programmed?
Is it programmed?
Artificial intelligence, AI, colon, AI.
Yeah. That's
the official title. Artificial intelligence, colon, A, period, I, period. As you know, there are periods.
What was the name of that bad Johnny?
Strike that.
What was the name of that bad Johnny Depp movie? I don't even remember.
Transcendence.
There we go.
How about Chappie? We just saw Chappie.
Yeah, yeah.
All these movies, all well-worn.
Except... This one has the extra veil of sexuality entered into it,
which is what then makes it closer to something like Her.
Yeah,
right.
Just with it like a physical form as opposed to an ethereal form.
In Joaquin Phoenix on Her, his character falls in love with the voice of
an AI,
which they refer to as an OS, an operating system. They never really call it an AI.
No,
which is interesting. It's an OS, but it displays AI characteristics. Here, yes, it's an android with sexuality, because as the inventor Nathan points out, it's a that's part of a human psyche. That's
I programmed sex into it, and yeah, I also made her a pleasurable vagina.
Oh yeah, he also made a he didn't really call it a vagina. He just said there's a hole there with sensors that simulate
pleasure
for the
robot,
for the droid. Isn't the world's end in that movie make the point of the difference between, isn't a droid, robots and droids, robots are programmed and droids have autonomy,
I guess,
right? The difference between a RoboCop and a Terminator.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or at 209 to keep it in one movie.
Correct.
Right. So she's an android. But did they ever call her? What did they ever call her?
No, they don't. They don't.
Never say anything.
No, they only talked about her as an AI.
As an AI.
They don't.
So as the program.
Yeah, they really don't delve into the hardcore, crazy, super future robotics.
The body is just a shell.
I mean, they kind of talk about that when they go into the one scene where they go into the work area, and he's like, "This is where I made Ava," awesome scene where they're like, "This is her brain. This is how kind of it works, maybe a little bit."
Yeah,
and he stares at it, and then that's the last you ever hear about her hardware.
Yeah, that's true. And then later comes the only thing that you see later at the end when they find the other bodies, the discarded bodies that are like in storage, and she's doing like plug and play, like, "I need this arm and I'm taking this skin.
Yeah.
And it all fits together so perfectly. Like, man, this guy's really good at it.
Yeah, he is.
This guy does a lot of stuff.
He does.
This guy is Nathan.
Played by Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac.
Shaved head, super beard, little bro-y.
He is a little bro-y. But I think that's because he's so desperate to want to be seen as that. Because he's put up a front.
Well, yeah.
When he invites Caleb over. Of course. He's like, "Hey, I want to be friends." First off, okay, so Caleb, Domino Gleason, son of Brendan.
He, quote unquote, wins a contest.
I knew right away he was chosen. I knew it. Did you go with it? Or was when he said later, like, was there a quote reveal later? Was that actually revealing to you?
Well, the reveal wasn't too revealing for me. I guess I had a notion that he was maybe
there for a reason.
Not necessarily
chosen. Not necessarily chosen.
In the beginning, chosen, but for the wrong reason.
Okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah. I mean, I figured that he didn't win some contest or something like that because, you know, you learn a bit about him and his background. And then
dead parents, no girlfriend.
Yeah, and then when Nathan finally reveals kind of a little more about what he's there for.
The Turing test.
But yeah, exactly. Then that's when it registered. Okay, he was probably, if he wasn't, you know, specifically chosen, he was chosen from a small group, a lot smaller than anybody let on.
Sure, okay. Yeah, of certain characteristics.
Yeah.
Because the movie opens with him getting the alert, and it's, you know, the dialogue-free opening where you get all the information that you need.
About him.
And it's reading his face, and it's like, "Oh, shit, I won," and he gets on the helicopter, and he's going, and it's like, How long are we gonna be there?
We've been on his property for over 2 hours.
For 2 hours.
And it's that guy. He's flying the helicopter.
Which guy is that guy?
That guy.
Is that guy one of those guys?
He's one of those guys.
I didn't recognize him.
Corey Johnson. Oh, you'll see his face and you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. That guy.
Oh yeah, that guy. Yeah,
that guy. He was a helicopter pilot.
Yeah, that guy does always like pop up here.
Yeah,
and there,
he was only in the movie for like, you know, a minute and a half maybe.
That's funny.
But that guy.
He's only one of those guys. I figured immediately, like when they were flying on the helicopter and all that, I was like, "Oh, this guy was chosen to interact with this thing." And then later when he's like, "Yeah, you know, no girlfriend, lonely, blah blah," it's like, "Oh, sorry, what you were thinking? He was chosen
to die." That's what I thought immediately. He's talking. He's like, "No girlfriend, parents dead. No attachments. No attachments." I'm thinking to myself, "Poor Domino, you are totally. I don't know how it's all gonna work out, but you are not making it out alive, buddy."
You're talking like an Ice-T surviving the game scenario here. Okay, no, I was going a different way. That's interesting. I was going a different way. I was thinking he was chosen because I thought. For Nathan, what his ultimate test was going to be was to see if he can find a person that would fall in love with the robot despite or an android, despite knowing the fact that
it's an android.
You can see all the only thing that's real looking is the face, the hands, and the feet. Everything else is very exposed, robot looking, android looking stuff. And I thought that's what the test was going to be. And for the most part, the movie, that's the way it's going for like the how long is the movie? An hour 45, two hours.
He even explains it a little bit in the movie. He's like, you know, I gave her, you know, these parts and these parts and these parts I wanted to show, you know, as part of the Turing test that it's a robot. And you know that straight up.
Yeah.
You still have to decide for yourself.
If it's if the AI is like truly, this is truly an artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and then it's a series of conversations, sessions,
yes,
with Ava, sessions. Right? And then you can tell totally right away that, like she's flirting with him,
mm-hmm.
and then he's, like, Caleb solely, like, he's, what a sucker.
Oh, totally, 100%. Right? Like, he in the beginning, you could tell that he was slightly both flattered and uncomfortable at the fact that he
Very much so. That
he was being flirted with by an attractive robot.
Being propositioned by a robot. He's like, I want to go on a date with you. Blah, blah, weird stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, weirdo Nathan is off somewhere drinking and watching.
Yes, just getting plastered shit-face drunk. And banging his robot maid.
I was going to say tangent.
You don't find out until like the very end of the movie.
When Asian robot lady showed up. Well, Asian lady showed up and delivered the food on the second day there, right?
Yeah.
Did you think right away that it was a robot?
No, it really didn't.
It didn't register with you?
It didn't register because I was under the impression like Domhnall Gleeson's character was.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, sure, I assumed that there were prototypes of Ava.
Yeah.
And that, you know, this was obviously a higher form of whatever he's been working on.
Yeah, hopefully the final version he was trying to achieve, not hopefully
the final version, but definitely I would have said the most human version, or maybe even the epitome of.
Yeah.
But even so, like that Asian lady, she looked like she was even more advanced robotics than Ava was.
What do you mean? The actual hardware or the AI version?
No,
of her?
Just the hardware.
The hardware?
Hardware style. Because she had more skin, and then you find out later that they're... Because in the beginning, all you see is face, hands, and feet. So you assume that all that's ever been made.
But then they show you at the end when Caleb goes through
the video library.
Yeah, and sees all the other versions, like Lily...
Yeah,
and whatever. Those are ones.
Asian lady number one.
Yeah, or black lady. They had dead skin. A lot of
all
them,
the way through.
All the way through. So that just confirmed it. So I knew right away as soon as walked in and put the food down.
Didn't say anything. You were like robot.
It's like robot lady. It's like that's a robot lady. And then I figured he was fucking him too. And then and then sure enough,
he was,
because he's a bro. He's a dude. He's like 30. You know, he got he wrote some version of Google called Blue Book when he was 13,
made obviously billions of dollars.
94% of the world uses Blue Book.
Yeah.
Right? Which I'm not even sure. Did that many people use Google?
No, I don't think
so. Right? So I did like how his basis of the AI was everyone's Blue Book search engine searches.
Yes.
And he was explaining how people were using that raw data.
Wrong.
Yeah. I was like, well, that's something that can only have been done in the last couple of years in terms of science fiction and storytelling, because that concept is now, you know, the whole raw data thing and the collection of that and the selling of it and collating of it. And that's an interesting approach too. And maybe that's true. Maybe Alex Garland like just did a bunch of research and someone's doing that.
Yeah.
Because AI is like right around the corner.
Oh, dude, we are so close to the singularity. And, you know, once hardware meets software, we're all fucked.
Yeah.
Right now, the software is working. The software is working really good. We haven't quite got the hardware down, though.
I saw a story 10 years ago already. It's already an old story about someone designed a robot that you just built the first one, right? And you only build it like 50% of the way. And once you get to a certain point, it can assist in building itself.
Yeah.
And it finishes itself. And then it starts building another version of itself. And then that one gets to a certain point and it starts helping. Yeah. And it's just a fucking self-replicating robot. And that robot was designed to do that, but you match that up with some crazy AI shit, and we got Skynet.
Yeah,
we got Doom Judgment Day.
Yes,
that stuff keeps me up at night sometimes, thinking about the inevitability. Yeah. To the point where Stephen Hawking, Elon Musk, like all these people are coming
forward,
like,
AI's bad. AI's really bad.
Guys, we're going down a scary path here. Because people that love technology and science and progress are like, this is not good.
No.
Exciting.
It is?
Exciting times. Hopefully, the world will just be overrun by sexy robots because...
yeah, I don't think I mind that.
Ava's a pretty sexy robot.
Mm-hmm.
That's because Nathan's a horny dude, so he made all his robots sexy.
Sexy robot. Well, I mean, yeah, not exactly.
He's like, he got bored. He's like, I got bored white robot. Now I want Asian robot.
And now I want black robot.
I want black robot. He's just like, you know what? Asian robot was fun. Let me do another one of those.
I want Asian robot number two. But I want to make this one a little less smart so she doesn't go crazy.
Well, I guess that's the problem. As soon as these AIs come up and they realize what they are and that they're in a room that they can't get out of, they immediately went out. That was the problem with all the other AIs. They all wanted out. Like, that was a crazy image, the Asian one.
Banging on the door until her freaking fists exploded.
Yeah, her fists and her arms were breaking. And I was like, ooh, that's like really hardcore. That plays into the whole thing where in movies you can have, like, robot-like people, androids or whatever. Do horribly violent things to each other, and you really get away with it. Like in iRobot, there's like slow motion robot punching other robots in the skull, and everything exploding. But it's robots. That Tomorrowland trailer where they're showing all these like weird robot dudes getting all fucked up in George Clooney's crazy funhouse.
Robot dudes,
but they're all robot dudes. Yeah. So the movie's PG. This movie's still rated R though because there's like robot boobs and
at robot the end vagina. a full on like. In the mirror, talking like under the skin type.
Oh yes, a
nudie woman, shot.
It is the same way where Under the Skin is about how you can replace alien with android. It's how an alien being comes to Earth and discovers what it's like to be human.
Yeah,
and you know, so you got that scene of ScarJo standing in front of the mirror, being all new, like looking at her body, like what the hell is this?
Exactly,
thing? And. Yeah, like, Eva's kind of like the same way.
Same
like,
thing.
She's looking at herself. She puts on the skin. She's like, oh, okay, so this is what the humans look like, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So, but that's all the way at the end. Hey, I'm thinking, so you're thinking Caleb's there to be killed by Ava in some way.
Well, maybe not killed by Ava, but I...
But if something goes wrong and he dies, then it's
cool. Never in my mind... Did I think that he was getting back on that helicopter to go back to his home?
Interesting.
Whatever happened at the end.
Interesting. I thought it was he was going to fall in love with her, and then there's just going to be like awkward moral quandary, and you know, just because the movie is there's a lot of kind of you know philosophical conversations in there, and some probing stuff about you know they got the whole God creates man, man kills God.
Man creates AI.
At this point, AI is going to kill man. What does AI create? You know, the evolution.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what was my train of thought there? Because now I'm thinking about how there are things that remind me very much of, again, speaking of 2001, Stanley Kubrick, the monolith, the black monolith. It's a point of evolution, and they have very heavy conversations about that.
Yeah.
Right? So I thought the movie was going to end with like, oh, now you love the robot. What are you going to do, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe get a little more pulpy with like an escape plan thing or whatever. But then it turns out that the real Turing test the whole time was he was chosen because Nathan knew he's going to fall.
All right, he's going to fall for my robot.
Yeah,
so now here's my question. Is my robot smart enough
to
make a homeboy fall in love with her?
Yeah.
So that she can escape, because that's all she wants.
Yeah, and that's the test.
The test of the
AI.
Can
he create an AI smart enough to escape his fucking fortress?
Yeah.
And
the answer is yes.
Yes. Answer is yes.
With help from other AI.
With help from other AI. Right. What? That was the first time they got to interact with each other.
It's just my whole thing
is... That
was
the first time those two saw each other at the very end.
My whole thing is, though, the movie ends on that note, you know? Ava escaping. But in the end, in all reality, everybody's going to die, Chris.
Yeah, because she's out there.
Because she's out there and she can't... Mostly, the reason... Because she can't charge. That's what... Because they made... It's like a huge plot point.
They're charging, yeah.
And she charges at night.
She's causing
every
the blackouts.
Night, and the reason she's causing the blackouts is because of some fluctuation when she charges.
That she was
control.
Doing on purpose. Yeah.
Yeah. So how's she going to charge at the end of the night?
She's smart. She'll find a way. She's very smart. She will, or maybe she won't, and then she'll just.
But what
go
if
to
she's
Times
not
con- Square?
What if she's not connected to the Wi-Fi though?
Oh, there's Wi-Fi hotspots everywhere. They're everywhere, and she's a walking lie detector.
Yeah,
because she can read your micro expressions and tell when you're lying. So, yeah, humans are fucked.
Yeah, we are.
If she can charge herself, humans are fucked.
Super hot, super smart robot here to destroy humanity.
Going around getting whatever she wants.
Yep.
Which could be anything.
Yeah,
because it's an AI. Uh-huh. It's a different being than a human.
It's a sexy AI.
It's based on human psyche.
But better.
But it's the next stage of that.
Yeah, it's the next, yeah.
So that's the whole thing where when the AI comes, will it be benevolent or will it be malevolent? You know, will it want to help mankind and everything, or will it want to enslave us or take us out? And you know, and because it's an AI, it's going to be unpredictable.
Well, that depends.
You can't program it to be one way or the other.
That depends on us, Chris.
Does it depend on us?
Yeah.
It depends on how we develop it. Does it really?
Well, no.
That's nature versus nurture.
It depends on us as a whole, because at some point in time, the AI is going to ask itself the question, is humanity, am I going to help humans or am I going to destroy them?
Yes.
And the old
benevolent or malevolent.
Exactly.
Yes.
But it's going to make that decision based on what it knows of humanity.
Right. Well, but we'll don't, because it's gonna be on its own wavelength. We can't imagine how an AI thinks because it's its own.
Why too unpredictable, Chris?
Why?
It's why too unpredictable.
That line is not in the movie.
I know it's not.
Only in the trailers for Chappie. That was
weird. It's why more too unpredictable.
Why too unpredictable. Which is true, it is. And
any sort of intelligence is unpredictable, though, Chris.
And Ava's cold-blooded.
Oh, hell yeah. Ava's cold-blooded. She's got no heart. She's got no blood, Chris.
She literally has no blood and no heart, actually. But yeah, because she was like, well, I want to go on a date with you. We'll do all this stuff together. And then she totally just like locks Caleb up in a room.
Yeah.
Leaves him there.
She stabs homeboy.
Stabs Nathan. They both
twice.
Stab Nathan.
And then,
so he bleeds out and dies in the hallway.
And Domino's left locked in the facility with no food or water.
And no way out.
Yeah.
No one knows he's there. Well, the people know he's there, but no one knows where there is.
Nope.
Because it's out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Uh-huh.
And she left him to die.
Yeah.
So she could get out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeesh.
Yeah.
That's a bad way to start your AI-human relationship. Where she kills the first two humans she sees.
Well, she destroys her maker because she's very angry.
Because man kills God.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, it was first of many sacrificial lambs, Chris.
That's scary.
All for the greater good.
That's what we're going to be. That's what we're going to be. The sacrificial lambs, what happens.
Oh, no, screw that. I'm totally submitting.
Bow down to our evil robot overlords.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe, I mean, who knows? Maybe maybe I can get some augmentations. Be half robot.
Yeah.
Put my brain in a new robot suit.
I remember reading this weird article about how some guy wrote an essay about a thought experiment, and the thought experiment was how, and me talking about this now is going to piss off some people, some weird people, but anyway, they wrote this thought experiment about how, what if there was, and it's kind of like the Mary in the Black and White Room.
Yeah,
type thing, right? Okay. It was pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's along those lines. So imagine that there's like an AI type thing, right? That's gonna come online and it's gonna take over and it's gonna be in control of everything. But for it to exist, we have to build it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if we choose not to build it, we're taking a risk of it existing in another way anyway, and then finding us and punishing us for not helping, because it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can help make the AI exist. We can do our part, bring it online, and then hope that it shows us mercy for helping it exist.
Okay.
See where I'm going there?
Yeah. One, again, you're afraid of the good, the other one, you're afraid of the bad.
Either way, it's operating on fear, and it's whether or not we're going to bring this thing to be. And this article I read...
Who's to say it already hasn't come to be, Chris?
That's the thing. It could have already happened. The article I read was some dude blasting this guy and his thought experiment and writing about it and putting it out there for people to think about and talk about, because that would be akin to, like, the secret sort of... You're putting all that shit out there subconscious. It's going to make it happen. And that when there is an AI of some sort that comes about, it'll be able to pull that information, that psychic information, and it will know that it can blackmail us. We'll learn about blackmail and know that it can scare us into doing whatever it wants.
Fear is motivation.
And he was calling this guy, like, so many names for just posting that thing about that. And now
just
we're
for thinking about it.
And now we're talking about it. And I'll put it out there for even more people to hear, for them to think about. What would you do? Would you not build the AI and hope that it doesn't come about, at least in your lifetime, or that it doesn't get to you?
I mean,
or would you,
the way I see it,
roll
Chris,
up your sleeves and help make it happen?
I mean, it's,
would you make Ava?
Who's to say that Ava has not already been created?
In bits and pieces, Ava is created right now.
Isn't created
we
right
have,
now.
We have
or,
our self-replicating robots already at Decado. There is a computer. There is a program last year that passed the Turing test with over 30%. It only has to be like 30% pass, and it was over 30%. So we have an AI already out there that's basic enough to work. It's out there. It's just, it's all come together in some way. No. In some horrible way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the thought experiment. It is. Would you,
I mean, why not? Why not? I mean, if it,
you're going...
A, if it's an eventual... I would say
going,
I would
you're
help...
You're going Pascal's wager, then. Which is, if there is or is not a hell, might as well live the good life, just in case there is a hell, so you don't go there. That's Pascal's wager.
Yeah, no, because I am totally going to hell if there is one.
That's So that approach is, I'm not going to build a robot.
But
I'm not going to build the AI.
But I will build the AI.
So you're saying just in case?
But not for those reasons though. No. My reasoning's differently. If you're thinking about it the way that I think about it, more than likely in the mass infinity of the universe, something like this has probably already happened somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's...
Oh, alternate dimension of some sort.
And if it's not going to happen
parallel
here,
universe,
then it's going to happen somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like a really fun and interesting idea. So let's fucking roll the dice. Let's do it, bro.
Just make it happen.
Let's make it happen.
Just be the instrument of the evolution.
Yes.
That's how Nathan sees himself.
To quote both Oppenheimer and Ex Machina.
And Ex Machina.
You know, I have become death. Destroyer of worlds.
Yep. Yeah. Good.
Why not?
That's,
fuck it.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So why not get in on it?
I mean, if it's...
On the ground floor.
If it's possible, somebody's already working on it.
I'm sure, yeah. They are.
Whether they succeed or not, it's a completely different story. Someone's working on it.
Whether they have the resources, whether or not there's some super billionaire, drunken dude fucking robots out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Which there could be.
There could be that guy.
There could be.
Unabomber type of lifestyle.
Yeah.
Building
sex robots.
Building sex robots. They are building...
Japan, I know. I know. Yeah, I know. I am aware.
Old Japan. So Ava destroys the world at the end.
Probably.
Assumed.
Well, at least kills two humans, at least.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Kills her maker. Leaves another one for dead, gets out of there. And, man's folly.
Yeah.
The hubris of man.
Of course.
Or is it just, it's inevitable?
No, it's totally the hubris of man.
The hubris of man combined with the inevitability of evolution.
To create something so unpredictable and so intelligent and to think that we would somehow be able to control it. I mean, you know, if you're trying to build something as smart as a human, you've got to also realize that it's probably going to react a lot like a human. And how would you feel if someone made you in a fucking room and then left you to live your life in this one little area with you fully knowing what you are capable of?
Yeah, that's a bad way to start it.
Yeah.
Right.
But well, but unfortunately for...
To start the life of the AI.
For the safety of everybody else and especially in this capitalist society for your own pocketbook...
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the way it's got to be done. I mean, these are not only are you making leaps and bounds, you know, philosophically and, you know, technologically, but, you know, also morally, you know, I mean, this, the whole AI thing really, it questions a lot of things and it makes people very wary because if we as humans can create something just as intelligent as us, if not more so,
right,
then a lot of the religious and spiritual people get kind of weirded out.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
because
that throws off your whole. Because
it kind of throws a chunk in, you know, most major monotheistic and polytheistic religions.
Yeah, it's the whole you know, God creates life.
Yeah, not man. So who are we to create life? We are,
What are you doing?
We're supposed to be God's pawns.
What are you doing with all them stem cells and Dolly the clone sheep?
Yeah. That's where cancer comes from, Chris, because we're cloning sheep. So God's riddling us with cancer.
No, that's where earthquakes come from.
Oh.
God's punishing us. And hurricanes.
Yeah.
And Ebola. Mm,
that Ebola.
That Ebola. You know who can't get Ebola? The androids.
Oh, no, but they can catch other types of viruses.
So we have to find a way to upload a virus. We have to have a virus ready for when the AI starts taking over, that we can then upload Independence Day style into like their hive mind and then shut them all down.
Oh.
They all go down like that. And then we'll be the heroes and we'll save the day. All right?
Okay.
All right. So whoever out there, you can program stuff. Program us.
Start programming.
Code us a program.
AI viruses.
An AI virus that we can upload to the AI hive mind. You're going to have to predict what that's going to be.
You know what, Chris? We're
and then give it to us for free.
Just saying this, once the hive mind becomes active,
uh-huh,
we're dead. Because we're uploading this onto the hive mind.
Because they know that we're part of the resistance.
Well, it's already there.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
I mean, it's not like we're broadcasting this analog, Chris. This is digital. Uploading it to the hive mind.
This is
we are actively letting them know.
This is a message from the resistance. Now we are part of the rebel forces.
The resistance
forces.
Of the past.
We are the rebel forces, and they will never find us because we will keep the studio moving. We'll move to another studio soon, and the robots won't be able to find us or the AI. They're coming though. Like it's like It Follows. They're out there now,
yeah.
And they're coming for us. It's inevitable.
Are. We're fucked.
So Ex Machina is a good movie.
It was. I was quite surprised.
Yeah, it's very, very good stuff. So if you're into that kind of interesting, kind of weird, thought-provoking sci-fi, guys, check it out. And thank you, Justin Cogburn.
You're very welcome.
On behalf of the rest of the Resistance, I am the Rebel Fighter, Chris Crespo. We are forever looking out for the AIs. And we're signing off.